It's a Friday, so that means today's episode of the Be Our Guest podcast is brought to you by your friends over at the Magic for Less Travel. That's right. The Magic for Less Travel is a platinum earmarked agency, which means Disney has recognized them for great guest service and the amount of trips they book due to their guests coming back time and time again for the great service they get with their Magic for Less agent. I'd like to personally help you plan your next Disney vacation, whether it's to Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or sailing with the Disney Cruise Line. We can work together to make that next Disney vacation amazing at the lowest cost possible. Just drop by themagicforless.com today. Check out all the great specials, including the Fun and Sun discount for the spring and early summer. And of course, when you book with the Magic for Less, they're going to check each day to make sure you're getting the best deal possible. And if a new discount gets announced, they're going to apply that to your vacation as long as it is available for your dates and resort to save you even more money. Check them out today and let them know you heard about them here on the Be Our Guest podcast. They're over at themagicforless.com. Today's episode is also proudly sponsored by longtime listener Drew Baker of Aquitas Financial Group, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc. Drew is a financial advisor who has realized that he gets the most enjoyment out of working with like-minded clients and has built his business working with many people who share his same passion for Walt Disney World. Drew does retirement planning and investment management and conducts many meetings over the phone or Skype for those who aren't local to his Fort Wayne or Indianapolis, Indiana offices. Drew and his staff aim to bring the Disney difference in service into his business and how he treats his clients. Looking for someone to give you a free second set of eyes on your financial picture? Then support the folks who support us and give Drew Baker a call right now at 260-271-1050. Email him at drew.baker@ampf.com or look him up online at ameriprise advisors.com/drew.baker. Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1128 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Welcome to the Super Bowl 51 pregame show. That's right, we're going to be on the air from Thursday night, if you're Andrew and you're listening to the show 5 minutes after it comes out, all the way through kick on Sunday afternoon. So, no, we're not going to do that. But you know, some of those pregame shows go about that long. I think some of them actually start on Saturday morning. It's ridiculous. But, you know, it's a big Super Bowl Sunday here in the United States and around the world. So Ricky's team's in it this year, and, you know, we'll have to see what happens. You got the New England Patriots against the Atlanta Falcons. But we're not here for sports talk. We're here to talk Disney on a Friday. It's the end of a work week, and this was a five-day work week, and it was a tough one. You know, it's the dead of winter here in the States. Let's pretend like we're, you know, it's summer vacation, we're 12 years old, and we're heading to Disney. Let's do that today. So joining me today to, you know, enter La La Land and make-believe land here today, we have Ricky from a DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and the Mouse for Less. Happy Friday, Ricky.
I am ready. Let's do this, Falcons. Come on. You got this. You could totally beat the Patriots. I'm just saying. Come on. Let's go. I've got my food all ready to go. I'm cooking up a storm for the awesome Super Bowl party that I'm going to. I've got Dirty Bird chicken dip that's going on. And I'm going to have Oreo truffles that are black, you know, on the inside because of the Oreo. And then they're going to be white on the outside, but dipped. It's going to be in red food coloring. So it's going to be the black and red. So I've got this. Let's do this, Falcons.
So our listeners, you know, we have listeners around the world. We love that. We got Masai over in Japan. Malcolm's in the UK. We got listeners in Australia. Tracy's over in Wales. They're thinking, I'm not going to ever touch anything called Dirty Bird Dip. I can't even say it. Birdie Dirt Dip.
Dirty Bird Dip.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think I would ever want to put anything that's called Dirty Bird Dip in my mouth. That would be disgusting.
It's all Falcon love. It's all Falcon love.
All I got to say is rise up, right? That's what you say.
Rise up, exactly.
All right. And make sure you check the inflation on those footballs. That's all I got to say.
Absolutely. If the Falcons aren't checking everything, seriously, start checking now. Like, check the footballs, check the cleats. Make sure they're not filming. I'm just saying. So.
Yeah, that's how the Rams lost the Super Bowl. They were filming our practices. But anyway, you know.
Exactly. I digress. Yes.
But what should happen? I mean, I promise this is it. But, you know, the Falcons.
We are losing all of our Patriots fans right now.
That's
they're
it.
All
we
going
love, you know, hey.
Like, well, not listening to that podcast ever again.
That's done. What you get when you win all the time. It's kind of like the Yankees. But anyway, so you know what? The Falcons should come out with, like, in their back pocket, that thing that my father-in-law gave me. He's a retired mechanic. You know, the thing you put on your tire that and the thing shoots out the back. I can tell you how much pressure you have in your tires. Like, every one of the players should come out with one of those in their back pocket. Like, just in case they need it, like, in the third quarter or something.
Just in case.
That'd be awesome. All right, also joining us, we have the co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel, Pam Forrester. And Pam, I think you dodged a bullet. You don't have a team. You know, Pittsburgh doesn't have to be all crazy, and you can just sit back. You know, it's nice when you just get to have the party, or maybe you're not even having a Super Bowl party. I don't know what's going on this year.
So Pittsburgh has enough problems without being in the Super Bowl too. I'm just saying, like, we need to regroup as a team and whatever. So we have people filming in the locker rooms and people don't like the coach and, you know, it's all whatever. So anyways, once you lose the people, I think you lose it all. But I'm just, you know, it's Super Bowl time. I think it's a fun thing to watch regardless of whether you have someone in the game, the big game, since we're not allowed to say Super
No, I learned.
Are we even allowed to say it?
You can say Super Bowl. You can't say Super Bowl and then the Roman numerals.
Oh, I think I said that. I owe somebody like 10 grand. Oh, great. Nice.
I learned that at work because I work in an industry where that is an important thing that we need to know. So you can say Super Bowl.
So I can say Super Bowl because I don't want to break the bag.
No, yeah, I'm saying just in case. Yeah, just in case. Let's just call it the big game. I'm starting to sweat bullets. Not that I don't trust Ricky, but I'm just saying, just in case, we're probably already 27,000 grand in the hole. So.
Exactly. Yeah. Sorry, I just cost you a lot of money, Mike. It's fine.
Exactly. So anyways, but you know, it's fun to watch. It's an American pastime, so you gotta embrace it and find some way to enjoy it, even if it's just that you get to make your favorite party foods, right?
So you get to watch commercials and you get to watch Lady Gaga this year. So there's that too.
That could be good or bad.
That could be good or bad. You never know where that's gonna go. Let's just be
either
honest.
Way, it will be entertaining.
It will be very entertaining. Yes.
That's right, and just stay tuned for the Be Our Guest podcast commercial in the third quarter. Just saying.
Yeah,
be ready. That's exactly it's a doozy. It's quick though, so we can only afford 1 second. So be ready.
Watch the other podcast. Yeah,
we can't even afford that. Exactly.
It's actually kind of subliminal.
It is.
It's so fast, you don't even know you saw it.
That's it. You know, it's one of those things like you question yourself. Did I really see that? Yeah, it was on there. You know, that was Ricky, Mike, and Pam. Anyway, let's get to the Disney talk. Enough football, and here's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to kind of just sit around and talk about. I was thinking the other day about NASA because, you know, and on a serious note, it's been the week of remembrance at NASA where, you know, they had three tragedies. They had the Apollo 1 fire, the Challenger, and the Columbia accidents with the space shuttles. And they get together the last week of January to remember these heroes, these astronauts. And I started thinking about the contributions NASA has given to our country over the years. And one of the big things that they give us are what are called spinoffs. So what a spinoff is in NASA terms is that they'll develop something for the aerospace industry or for the space industry or for a specific problem they have in space. For example, Velcro. You know, the astronauts were having trouble keeping track of things in zero G. So they basically developed Velcro to solve that problem. And then, you know, NASA is a government agency. So what they do is they take these inventions and they spin them off to private industry. And a lot of times these things, you know, get down to us. And a lot of our cell phones have a lot of spinoff technology from NASA. You know, there's lots of radio things. There's just lots of technology that's come from NASA, GPS. And so I was thinking about, you know, if there were experiences down at Walt Disney World, how could they take the core experience and spin that off into something that guests might enjoy? So I'll throw out my first example, and also we can do things that aren't necessarily spinoffs, but just something we think would be a neat experience to invent down at Walt Disney World. So the first one I came up with, and I think this one would only come into play recently because of the changes to Disney Springs. And what I would like to see, or, you know, this wouldn't be totally geared to me, but I could see where a lot of the guests, this would be totally right up their alley. And I think Disney would jump on this too. So we have the Food and Wine Festival each fall and late summer now over at Epcot. And it's a huge hit. I mean, this is something where, you know, the foodies come out, the casual folks come out just to see, you know, and sample some, you know, new drinks, new foods. And you got celebrity chefs and so forth going on, you know, all that stuff over there. What I propose would be in a time of the year, and there's not that many times I got the Festival of the Arts and everything. There's stuff going on all the time. But to take, and it wouldn't have to be a, you know, a 90-day festival like Food and Wine's going to be here in the next 2 or 3 years. But maybe just, 3 or 4 weeks, kind of like Festival of the Arts is doing this year, and have a Food and Wine Festival / Disney Springs. You know, bring a Food and Wine Festival atmosphere to Disney Springs, because now they have walkways where they could set up little, you know, booths on the outside of, you know, Homecoming or Deluxe Burger or Frontier Cochina. You know, each one of the places would have some kind of a way that you don't necessarily have to go into the restaurant, but you could sample the goods, and that would lead you to maybe going there and having the full experience either during your trip at a later time or in trips upcoming. And the way I see this happening would be kind of a way to make this almost all-inclusive, because Disney Springs is not a ticketed venue, but what you could buy is maybe for, say, $75 to $100, you buy a card, kind of like back in the day I used to have it Putt-Putt. And it's got little punch, you know, where you punch the things out. And maybe you get 6 or 7 experiences for that money, or 10 experiences. I don't know. I'm not good with economics and food. But you would take that card around, and you just get it punched. You know, you get a certain amount of experiences. So maybe you go by Frontier Cochina and pick up, you know, a little mini sample of fajitas. And maybe you go to Ghirardelli and get some chocolate, or get a, what are those things? Those are like crepes. You know, go get a crepe or try something from the... What's the, you know, the poutine, you know, get a little thing of poutine and sample, because I think that Disney Springs has a lot of really cool places. We've been getting a lot of questions on the show about, should I go to Homecoming, or should I go to the Boathouse, or should I go, you know, here or there, you know, you got Paddlefish coming online. I think that this would be something that it would be a fun environment. You could have, you know, live music and so forth kind of in the common areas. It would be packed. I mean, that'd be the biggest problem, is it would be just a zoo. But I think it would be advantageous for the vendors and the restaurants and the, you know, every place there. But also it'd be good for somebody like me that could get a quick sample to just try a thing, you know, maybe a little half slider and try it and see, do I like it? Okay, now I'm a Deluxe Burger fan. Or Blaze Pizza, you know, even though it's cheap, you know, buy one slice and give it a shot. So, Pam, what do you think of this idea of a Food and Wine Festival at Disney Springs?
I love it. And I think it's just like a little intro to Disney Springs. You know, it's that I know a lot of people go over there and like get wrapped up in the shopping and things like that, but there are so many fantastic dining locations there. And I think that it would be great for locals too. I mean, you know, if I had the opportunity to go over to Disney Springs on the weekend instead of going to my local mm-hmm. restaurants, I'd be like in heaven. So I think that this would be great for them to try out too.
Ricky, what do you think that, I mean, is this something Disney could pull off, or is it one of those things that it's kind of pie in the sky and, you know, logistically it might not happen? Because, I mean, I could see this thing getting way too crowded way too fast, because Disney Springs isn't a theme park like Epcot, you know, so it's not made to handle 25,000 people. I mean, is this something that, yeah, maybe it would work, but probably not because of the sheer number of guests that Walt Disney World can bring in at any certain time?
Yes to both.
I don't know.
I think, that, you know, I really do think that it could be very interesting, but I also see how it would be very difficult to do. So I think I would not hate to see the idea, though. I think it's a very creative idea. Of something that they could do, and you know, just allow you to try a few samples. And the thing that I think that would help with this is that you would only allow for, like, you know, 5 samples for, or 5, you know, 5 little mini dishes or whatever from each of the different places. So you wouldn't be and each one would only have like 1 or maybe 2 options for you to choose from. So it wouldn't be totally overbearing, I think. I don't know. The more I think about it, the more I think it could work. I just think that, you know, the thought process of how to go about actually making it a successful event would have to be really thought out. But I can see it being actually not a bad idea, because you're right. There are places that I would maybe like to try that I haven't either gotten to yet, or I'm kind of like on the fence about, like, for example, Bongos. You know, I've never been to Bongos. I like Cuban food, but, you know, I don't know if that's somewhere that I would ever really want to eat, especially with all the great restaurants that I have eaten at that I want to go back to. So if I could try a sample from Bongos and realize, oh, hey, this food is actually good, or maybe I don't go there ever, you know, like maybe I haven't been missing anything. I think that that would be a really cool thing to be able to do. So you're selling me more and more on this as I keep talking.
I think it would just be great for everybody, even the vendors, like Pam said, you know, like the Fit to Runs in the UGG store, because the bottom line is you need people to be in the area to come into your store. And, you know, I think that, you know, the more foot traffic you have there, but I think that would be the biggest problem is parking. You know, now they have the parking garages, which is awesome. But I just think, like you said, with the locals and with people getting excited, people love food. I mean, it's crazy. You know, food and wine, you know, if you have drinks at each stand too. This would be kind of nuts. It'd almost be like one of those things where you would have to, and this is the beauty of Disney Springs, is that it's non-gated. So, yeah. You know, the problem is you could have a ton of people there that are not spending money. They're just kind of hanging out. They're not buying the $100 card to go around. And then you have those people mixed in with all the people that want to experience, you know, what the festival would have. But it's a thought. It's something I thought of the other day that, and it just came from, like you said, Ricky, it's one of those things like, I haven't tried homecoming yet, you know, throw me some, you know, just give me a little sampling, or, you know, there's a lot of places that I haven't got a chance, because when you're there on a trip, you're also eating at your favorite restaurants and the resorts and the theme parks. And, you know, if you focused on Disney Springs and got to sample five things in one night, then the next time you come down, hey, this is going to be I can't miss this place. You know, I didn't know it was that good. It was unexpected. So I think it gives you that opportunity. I think that's what Food and Wine Festival does too. So, all right, Ricky, so what did you come up with when we decided to come up with some new experiences?
So, you know, we are seeing a lot of changes over at Disney's Hollywood Studios, and you know, it's definitely geared more towards Star Wars right now. Obviously, that is their big franchise. That's you know, where they're going all in at, and I completely understand that. But, you know, I think that it would be nice to kind of throw in a different, really great experience every once in a while. And I really think that it's something that they haven't done. And I think that they're missing out. And I would love to see them do some sort of like Pixar weekends or something like that at Disney's Hollywood Studios. You know, they celebrate the princesses, and of course they celebrate Star Wars, but I love Pixar characters, and I think Disney's Hollywood Studios would be a great place to have an event like this, because, you know, they are the movies, that kind of thing. And I think that doing some sort of special Pixar related event, you know, they can have, you know, a dessert party. They could have, you know, a fantastic fireworks show that revolves around, you know, the Pixar stories. You know, special meet and greets with characters that you aren't going to be able to see. You know, take the things that they're doing now for Star Wars and incorporate that into a Pixar experience. And I think that you've got a winner. I mean, it's so simple and so easy. And I don't know why they're not capitalizing on the whole Pixar movement of how great their stories are. You know, we're going to have Toy Story Land, and I'm so excited for Toy Story Land. But, you know, I'd like to see some love for some other stuff, especially because they you know, they don't have stuff for the newer things that have come out recently. For, you know, they've got, you can meet, you know, Merida but I think she's like the last one that's been out that you could really meet. I mean, you know, that kind of thing. I don't know. I just think that a Pixar thing would be really great. That's just me. I love Pixar, so.
Well, too, and, you know, I think that, you know, when they first started coming out with things like Launch Bay, and even before that, they had just some, you know, like Stormtrooper marches, but, you know, before Launch Bay was as big as it is now, I saw that as a bridge from now till Star Wars Land opens. And you know what, if you said and you gave an experience like that, that could be the bridge from now to Toy Story Land. You know, it really does kind of fill that gap. I like that idea.
Well, and of course, I think, of course, Toy Story Land is supposedly supposed to open ahead of, you know, Star Wars Land. So they would, you know, have to do it relatively quickly if that was the case. But, you know, I think that they could have kind of a both thing going on and, you know, really celebrate both things. But, you know, I understand the love of Star Wars right now. It is the hot property, and I get that. But it would be nice to have a little bit more Pixar love in the studio, since that's where clearly it's going to be going.
Totally agree. Good call. All right, Pam, what do you have for a new experience down at Walt Disney World?
So this is kind of a spinoff of, you know, Disney has all of these awesome, like, dessert parties to see the fireworks. You know, they have the dessert party over at Hollywood Studios and the dessert parties for Illuminations and the dessert parties for Wishes, too. But one of the things I think that they do not have a party for, and this is not specific to a dessert party, but it's a really timely event that comes up every year, and we constantly are getting questions from our guests on where can we watch the Super Bowl? And yes, I think it's about time that they had a Super Bowl event. Now, I think that, you know, ESPN Club is a great location to, like, maybe think about this, but I think that some place that would work just as well is one of the convention centers. So they have these beautiful rooms in the convention centers, and they have some at the Contemporary and the Yacht Club. There's a great convention center there. There's some other convention centers too, one at Coronado. But take one of those rooms, put in a huge screen, put in some chairs, even have like a light buffet in the back. Like, think of the buffet you kind of run into when you're on the Disney Cruise Line that's kind of outside the clubs, right? Mm-hmm. Just some finger foods, some stuff like that.
So good.
For goodness sakes,
that.
Hello, make some buffalo dip.
Yes.
For goodness sakes.
Dirty bird dip. Dirty bird dip.
Dirty bird dip.
That's it.
Put in a chafing dish. Put some chips out. Have some, you know, drinks available for purchase. But just make it be a comfortable location where you can go and watch the game and actually hear what's going on. Mm-hmm. You know, people can wear their favorite jersey if they want to. You know, I think just something like that. There's so much potential for this. And I think there's really a desire on so many people who want to watch the Super Bowl, mm-hmm. but don't want to just sit in their hotel room and kind of watch it there. They're like, we want to be like at a Super Bowl party. And it could be the coolest Super Bowl party in the kingdom.
I 100% agree with you. You know, like, I have a Super Bowl page on the Mouse for Less that I, you know, in charge of updating. And in the past, I've had stuff that I can update, you know, like Rick's Lounge has had, you know, a Super Bowl party, or, you know, various other places have had it. Literally, there has been nothing this year. I have seen no information at all about some great Super Bowl event that's happening at Walt Disney World. And you're right. It seems like such a shame of, you know, this is a big event. You know, this is something that people are excited about. They want to see. Yeah, you could watch it in your hotel room or the little bitty TV in the bar and lounge areas at the, you know, but I want to watch it with a big group of people. That's the fun of watching the Super Bowl. So I'm 100% with you on this one, Pam.
100%. Oh,
yeah, this would be
sure.
I'd totally go. Even if it wasn't my team, I would go because I like the atmosphere. I can compare this to one thing that I did down at Walt Disney World. This is about 3 or 4 years ago. It was when World Cup was going on. So I guess that was in 2014, maybe. I can't remember, but, you know, Paige is a huge soccer fan. So I'm not a big soccer fan, but she is. So we were at Walt Disney World during the World Cup, and they turned the Odyssey in Epcot into a World Cup viewing center. And the thing was, like, it was like a 3-hour wait to get in because of the fire code. So, like, it was one in, one out. And once you went in, you couldn't leave or else you had to get to the back of the line. That's kind of how it worked. And I'm not even a soccer fan. Like, I'm a baseball, football, you know, all kinds of other sports, hockey fan. But it was so cool in there just because, like you said, Pam, like, it was, I mean, this was, you know, a lot of Brazilians were in there, and it was like the United States against, I don't think it was Brazil, but it was like Colombia or something. And just the tension in the place, and, like, you know, because, like, soccer is not, you know, for a lot of Americans that didn't grow up watching it, you know, it's, you know, because it's always usually like a 1-0 or a 2-1 game, you know, like we're used to football where it's 42-38, you know, lots of offense. But I mean, like, every pass, people were just dying. I mean, you in these pieces, a lot, you know, these people weren't even speaking English, most of them. And, like, I could just feel their agony, like, with every cross and everything. It was like the coolest environment because I had never seen soccer or football in that kind of a light. And I think with American football for the Super Bowl, I mean, you know, could you see Moose, like, if if the Eagles were in there, like he's rolling in with his Eagles jersey, like, yeah, we're going to stomp you into the ground. Yeah, get away from the wings, you know? I mean, I think that'd be just be so cool. That you're right. And I mean, Disney has the projecting, you know, that's not a problem. They can project stuff on castles, you know? They could do as big of a TV as they wanted on the wall. That's a great idea. I love that.
I hope they do something like that. It's a missed revenue opportunity on top of everything
else.
It is!
100% missed revenue opportunity. I would agree with that. Yeah,
and Chris Lively.
And we all know that they're looking for those revenue opportunities right now. Gosh, they come up with every stupid thing to make extra revenue. This is a no-brainer.
We're handing it right to you, Disney. We're handing it to you. I mean, money, right? That is a license to print money, literally, right there. So anyway, Chris Lively saying you could have it in the Joston Center at the ESPN. But I think, you know, that'd be kind of a neat environment. But I would go with one of the convention centers at the hotels. Makes it a lot easier to get to. You know what I'm saying? Like Contemporary Bomb, you know, hop on the monorail and you're there. Oh, man. That'd be cool. Anyway, all right, so let's go through one more time, maybe not as long on this one. I will give you a spinoff of a new experience that's down at Walt Disney World. We have the Dine in the Sky, kind of the monorail crawl for the monorail resorts, their lounges and their restaurants. I would take this and make it a boat around Crescent Lake experience where maybe you go to Yachtsman Steakhouse and then hop on a boat and maybe go to... you know, maybe the Cruise Cup or maybe go to the Bellevue Lounge and have a drink. And then here's the tough part. I was thinking about this today and I was like, ooh, I don't know what. Do you go to the Beach Club and get some ice cream or do you go to Ample Hills and get some ice cream? And then while you're at the boardwalk, you could have, you know, maybe do some like a Papa Shot or something like that. So what do you think about kind of ripping off or spinning off the Dine in the Sky to maybe... I don't know what you would call it. We don't have I got to work on a snappy name for this, but it's the boat around Crescent Lake while you're dining and drinking and all kinds of stuff and desserting. So
I think, why not go with that title? It's so catchy. Yeah.
How about, well, you could say it's the dine, drink and dessert. It's the 3Ds.
There
it's
you
the
go.
3Ds,
go.
The 3D experience on Crescent Lake. Yes,
exactly. That's what I was thinking too.
Yeah, I think it's got potential. I mean, people like to eat and drink and have desserts. And, you know, hey, riding on a boat, especially when it's like in the summer and it's comfortable, that'd be kind of fun to just tool around Crescent Lake there.
I totally agree. I think it's a great idea.
Telling you, Disney, this one right here is going to put us on the map with Disney. I mean, come on. We'll be the official podcast of Disney by Monday. Maybe not.
Bam, just like that. Yeah,
just like that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Ricky, so give us one more. What would you suggest?
Okay, so mine kind of goes with the news that came out this week about the NBA experience actually finally coming to Disney Springs and Disney Quest. I think that they should do sort of also at Disney Springs, once this finally opens, kind of an NBA themed event outside at Disney Springs, you know, maybe just for a weekend, you know, kind of like they used to do with ESPN the weekend. But, you know, and the kind of like what they've been doing with the Pro Bowl, you know, this week or last week, I guess I should say, you know, they had little mini events. You know, they had some basketball. You could have some basketball games, you know, with some of the basketball players they could do. And maybe that wouldn't be obviously at Disney Springs, but they could do, you know, some maybe meet and greets with the basketball players. I don't know. I just think that having some sort of, once they officially open the NBA experience, having some sort of event tie into that would be a really good idea, especially because I think that the football Pro Bowl experience was really successful this week, or last week.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. I mean, I thought that Disney really, really did a good job with their Pro Bowl and the city of Orlando in general, because I watched the game on Sunday night just because there's nothing else on TV this time of year. It's brutal. I need spring training to start. But, you know, I watched that and it seemed like, you know, they had like a little flag football competition at halftime. I mean, I thought Orlando knocked it out of the park as far as a Pro Bowl, because I could really care less about the Pro Bowl for the most part anyway. And they made it kind of fun. So.
They made it exciting. Yeah, exactly. So I don't know. I just think that having some sort of like NBA type of event at, you know, Disney Springs / maybe ESPN would be a really good idea, especially to tie in with the whole NBA experience now.
I still think they should turn that Disney Quest into a big Apple store. I've only been saying that for like 10 years. It'd be talk about revenue generating. Oh,
right.
How many, exactly. Pam, how many USB cords have you forgotten on your last trip? And how many Apple Watch chargers have you forgotten? I mean, come on now.
Right, but then Amazon wouldn't be too happy.
That's true.
Because I have to order from them.
Amazon is a lifesaver. That's one thing I've learned from. I've learned a lot from you over the years, but that's one of the biggest ones is Amazon. Because I was not a believer in it, and I am. I love Prime. It is the best thing ever. So.
Absolutely, it is.
All right, well, close us out here on a Friday, and we're going to get settled in and get that dirty bird dip ready to go and get ready for Sunday. So what do you got?
So my last one is, so we talked about how Walt Disney World has, you know, has those progressive dinners that kind of go through the monorail dinner, the highway in the sky kind of dinner thing.
Oh, and by the way, mine is now called Boats and Brews. It was offered by one of our listeners in the Facebook live chat, Boats and Brews on Crescent Lake. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
I like that. So that's great. So how I love that idea, but one of the things that we get asked about so often is resort hopping. How do you stay at two different resorts? How does that work? Can I do it? Is it a pain? Da 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 da. Well, I of course am a professional resort hopper. I think like this is by trade what I do the most of. But I think that Disney could make a resort hopper kind of package experience available to guests. And the way they could do that is by offering guests the opportunity to stay at two different resorts during their trip. Mm. And they would sell this package, the dining plan and tickets would carry throughout their whole trip. Disney would not only take their luggage over to the next resort to them for free, but they would, at the time that they transfer resorts, they would ensure that your next resort room is open and available. So they would, you know, they would have to make sure that one of the guests, you know, one of the room types that you've had reserved will be available when you get there at like 11 o'clock. So say that there will be like a time that you switch over. But anyways, it would be an all-inclusive type package that just makes that transitioning so much easier. There would be a small surcharge. I'm willing to give that to them. There's a convenience charge for being able to do that. But then I think you have the benefit of being able to experience more than one Disney resort on your vacation. And I think that that's such a huge part of so many guests' vacation that this really gives them an opportunity to do that. And lets them swim in two different pools. You know, we get a lot of questions about pool hopping, which you know is not allowed. So I think it just offers a lot of opportunities for both guests and Disney to try this out.
How have I never thought of that? Because that is what you're doing is you're taking, because I'm just like you, Pam, in this frame of mind is that, you know, the resorts are 75% of the vacation, getting to experience different themes and different room types and different parts of property. Where what you're saying is, you know, you could do a split stay, but you take out all those things that are logistically issues, like front loading tickets on the first package that cover the second package. But then if you have dining, that becomes an issue because you got to use all your first dining credits. But then you got to have, there's a lot of things. But if you get rid of the red tape and just make it like, hey, this is a two resort package and you're guaranteed to have that room on the second half, just like you would, you know, you don't have to wait till possibly five in the evening. That is a great idea because I think that Walt Disney World would want us to see more resorts because that next one could always be your new favorite. You know, at least it always is with me. When I get back, it's always my new favorite. That's how it always is.
That's exactly it. There's just so many benefits of the Disney resorts that I think, you know, you don't know them until you actually stay there in them. And you do. It's an opportunity to discover your next favorite Disney resort. And I think that's a great way to sell it.
And taking it too to the next level, you know, they make these packages, these split stay packages, like where it's a value slash moderate package or a moderate slash deluxe package where maybe you do 75% of the time at the lower category, but you get the last couple nights, say at the deluxe or the moderate. And the thing is, I mean, I've said this a million times on the podcast. The biggest mistake I made was on our honeymoon. I got us a veranda stateroom on the cruise because now we, you know, for the most part, insides and ocean views are off the table because Pam liked that veranda. So I think what happens there is if Disney's smart, you got to look long term. You know, you make that deluxe stay for those last two nights something that they might take a little bit of a hit on. But the thing is, once people see, oh man, being at the Polynesia makes it so easy to go to the Magic Kingdom or, you know, staying at the Boardwalk, I can literally walk into World Showcase. I mean, once you have a taste of that, it's one of those things, it's really hard to go back.
It is. And I think it would give Disney, too, an opportunity. Maybe, I mean, they can look at and see which resorts they want to, which resorts they do want to sell, and maybe make that an offer that would include that kind of thing. So there's lots of opportunities for them to do some really creative things. And I would love to see it happen that way.
I agree. All right. Well, that's going to do it for today's show. So thank you so much for downloading. And now's the fun part. Drop by the Facebook group at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast and let us know what ideas you have for new experiences that could make, you know, everybody's next Walt Disney World vacation that much better. Don't forget today's show brought to you by the great folks over at the Magic for Less. Those agents are standing by right now to help you plan the best Disney vacation possible, whether it's to Walt Disney World, Disneyland, sailing on the Disney Cruise Line, or even Adventures by Disney. Drop by themagicforless.com today. Check out all the specials that are out there. There's a great fun and sun offer that can save you some money for the spring and early summer. And you know what? I'd like to personally help you plan that trip. So if you want to do that, drop by themagicforless.com today. Fill out that free no obligation quote and let's get planning that next Disney adventure. Drop by today over at themagicforless.com. We're also brought to you by Drew Baker of Aquitas Financial Group, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc. So when you're looking for someone to give you a free second set of eyes on your financial picture, support the folks who support us and give Drew Baker a call. He's over at 260-271-1050. Email him at drew.baker@ampf.com or look him up online at AmeriPriseAdvisors.com/drew.baker. Also, give us a follow on the social media. We love talking with our listeners on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. So we're on Facebook and Instagram at BeOurGuestMike. And we also have a great Facebook group at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. All right. Well, it's time to get out of here and let you get set for the big game. I almost said it, but we're 27 grand in the hole. I'm not going to say it again. So just sit back, enjoy the game on Sunday. Just a regular old game, you know, that you use your foot and play ball, but have a good time, you know, and whatever you do, seriously, you know, have a good time at the parties, you know, have a few, but just make sure you don't get behind that wheel. We want you to be back here on Monday. Everybody, please do stay safe. So for Ricky and Pam, I'm Mike, wishing you a great weekend. Have a good time. And like I said, stay safe and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.